Okay, this is Sunday morning. This is 3:15:20. This is a teaching. This is the third part of Why Did the Church Fall Asleep? This is why I believe the church fell asleep. The doctrine, false doctrine of futurism, the great deception, promoting the idea that everything happens at the end, nothing in between. If you're inactive, you're lulled to sleep, and the enemy has a field day. Because of the lack of physical signs, the church fell asleep. It's just like sitting down in your easy chair, inactivity, you just fall asleep. And I think that's where the church, what happened to the church. Okay, Matthew 12, first, I'm not going to recap so much like I did last week, but just enough to know the subject we're on. This is 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. But as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So they were all looking for signs. See, they missed Jesus coming because they were looking for signs. They missed him the first time. And there's going to be some people miss it the second time too because of the same thing. Okay, now flip on over to chapter 16. First four verses. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came in tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left them and departed. How did John know it was Jesus? He saw the Spirit ascend on him from heaven. He perceived by the Spirit he was the Son of God. And that's how we're going to perceive these end times, by our Spirit. Not by looking for signs. Jesus was the sign of the times. We've been in the last days since his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul said we were in the last days. Let's look over here to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Man, to me the signs are everywhere. I mean physical signs and plus spiritual signs. 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Let me just stop here a minute. What's happening right now? It's just like in 2015 when Obama did his dirty deed and pushed that decision through the Supreme Court unlawfully for homosexual marriage. That was a wake-up call for me. I thought we've done arrived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Here we are. It woke me up. And I believe what's happening now is going to wake a lot of people up. See? A lot of people up. All right. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. There are people, somebody said a couple of days ago, that they hoped, they resigned from something, and they hoped that the president would get the coronavirus and die. Yeah. Oh, that's not the only time they've done that. Yeah, I'm thinking, can it be any worse than this? They're just, these people have lost all reason. Traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Boy, don't we see that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captives, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. There's your feminist right there. ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They are reprobate. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, longsuffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is kind of what I was saying about the fire. Purged with Holy Ghost fire. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we got to be in these last days. Okay, Hebrews 1. Verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So, we are in the last days. Jesus thought his coming was relevant for all generations. Daniel saw end time events, even though they were sealed. Okay, let's go to Daniel chapter 2. In other words, what I'm saying is, end times are irrelevant. They're not something that we just forget about and fall asleep. Most people won't even read the book of Revelation. They don't want to hear anybody preach out of it because they get scared. Well, I'll tell you what's more scary is not knowing the truth about it and then finding out everything that you thought was the truth is not. That's more scary to me. I mean, if you know the truth, you have to go into the lion's den, the Lord's with you, you know, but if you don't know anything and you've believed a lie. Okay, Daniel chapter 2. When I hit about 30 minutes, would you tell me? And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. In other words, he couldn't remember his dream. If he will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the king known to Daniel. the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Then they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O Lord God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went into unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions that I had upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. The great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So we see Babylon is the head of gold. Medo-Persia, arms of silver, Greek, the brass. Did I read that to y'all? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. The brass was the Greek, and then the iron was the Roman Empire. Okay. We're going to stop reading right there. I don't need to. He's just talking about different kingdoms here. You read on to verse 45. He says the king, well, I'll read it. This is a dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, which is Medo-Persia is silver, the Grecian is brass. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, which is the Roman Empire. Forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. This is their kingdom we see right now. The European Union is trying to take over humanity, the clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. There's a 1,000-year reign. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God shall make known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So I put here the 10 toes is the European Union, which is the Vatican. Well, D.C., the Vatican, London City. Okay. After this dream, Nebuchadnezzar erected a statue after the dream. The man was lifted up in pride. The Babylonian Empire, the head of gold. Medo-Persia, the empire, was breast and arms of silver. The Greek Empire, belly and thighs of brass. The Roman Empire, legs of iron, feet part iron, part clay. And in 1993, November the 1st, 1993, was the revision of the Holy Roman Empire. The empire that used to have a German political leader and a spiritual Italian leader, which would be the Pope, usually. The feet of clay and iron consist of two leaders, a political one and a spiritual one, head of the EU and the Pope. The current head of the UE is Ursula von der Leyen. It sounds German. It usually consists of a German. It's like the Fourth Reich. So we see here that this system has been at work all along, not just stuff that happens at the end or in the near future. Daniel was given signs of the end of days kingdoms. All these other kingdoms are passed away. Now here comes John's revelation. John is on the Isle of Patmos by divine design. The Lord began to show me about John, that he was on Patmos by divine design to receive instruction. John was an apostle. And in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to John about the seven churches in Asia, what the present condition was of those churches, and John would later be the overseer as an apostle of these seven churches. So that's what the first three chapters of Revelation are talking about. So this encounter was not all about the future, but it was about John's ministry. So if you want to this week, read chapters 1, 2, and 3, and you can see that. You can see he's dealing with the churches, the seven churches. These aren't symbolic of the church today. Now that's taught. That always seems to be taught, but I don't think so. The Lord said to me, he was an overseer. He was an apostle. And he later apostled over those churches. Okay. Then John 4:1, John's invited to the throne room to hear about things that would occur after. In other words, end time. He gives a detailed account of what he saw throughout the chapter. Okay, he sees the throne room. Classic visitation when you go to heaven. A lot of people go to heaven, see a lot of things and say a lot of things. But the ones that speak to me are the ones in the Bible. When they go, they see the throne room. A lot of times they'll see the glassy sea. They'll see the four creatures. They'll see God on the throne. Okay. Then we start with chapter 5. So you can take the first four books, because chapter 4, most people, that's where the rapture comes in for them, whenever it says, come up hither. They say, well, that's a rapture. No, it isn't. So he's just, the Lord just asked him to come up. I'm going to show you some things hereafter. And he begins to see a movie, like a big projection of all these events in heaven. All right, Revelation 5. So when you read that this week, keep that in mind, what these first four chapters are about. When I get to 30, tell me, please. All right, chapter 5. All right, we're seeing here, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals, seven seals thereof. Now, we've talked about the seals, the book of Revelation itself means disclosure. And to be unsealed means something that was hidden before is now revealed. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and one of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven heads, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, has made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. That's interesting. Even the beast are going to be saying it. He said he heard them. All right. And then I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it was the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. Now, we talked about the seals in the first part, about what it is revealing. It reveals the four spirits that have influenced men throughout time. The four horses of the apocalypse, which are all, you can go read them in Zechariah chapter 6 too, also. Same spirits that influence. Okay, so I don't need to go over those again. Now I want you to remember here. Remember here what John saw was from a heavenly view, not earthly one. What are visions and dreams? They're like Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue. It was symbolic, and there is a literal interpretation, which is the earthly view. Okay? We start to see in Revelation 6, 1-17, the revealing of the swamp and the swamp system. These four spirits that have influenced man that has caused the swamp. Yeah. Okay, in Daniel 4, 1-37, Nebuchadnezzar has a pride problem, but it got worked out of him. So we see this tree in Babylon, the Babylonian system. Daniel 4, verses 1-7, he has another dream. And in the dream, the tree fills the whole earth, and all the creatures of the field find shelter underneath the tree. We see the Babylonian beast system that has infiltrated out the whole earth. Okay. So the beast system and the Antichrist system that we live in today, it has literally found its way into every nook and cranny of our world today. Unfortunately. Okay, Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And I said, well, how was it in that day? And the Lord said, it was a swamp. And I said, right, that's where we are. Swamp. That's where we're living, in a swamp. It's like the people, whoever had the dream, that they were on an airplane, the church was on an airplane, and the land was just nothing but a sewer, and they had no place to land. All right, Matthew 25, the virgins are waking up. We are in the great awakening. Yesterday, as I was thinking about all of this, the Lord brought up to me Oral Roberts' wake-up call. Now, I've never been able to understand it. It never made any sense to me. I couldn't make any heads or tail what the man was saying in the whole thing. And I still don't know, because everything I've got is CD, and I don't even have any way to play it. Now, I know there's a book out, but it's a narration. All it is a narration of an interview that Kenneth Copeland put into a book form. So I just remember him talking about something coming towards New York, and it stopped in midstream and all of this. And that the Lord was disgruntled because it was only five people at that time, 2004, whenever it was, that were taking the gospel like he told them to in the whole body of Christ. So I'm thinking, okay, so I'm going to try to get some information about that and kind of see, okay, Lord, what you brought that up. Maybe that what's happening to us now is our, you know, it is definitely a wake-up call for a lot of people. We're already woke up, but there's a lot of people that are not woke up. So anyway, that kind of came to mind. All right, now the seals are open. We're starting to see the truth. In chapter 7, we see here the line drawn. This is where the church is sealed. The line has been drawn in the sand, and we see in Revelation 7, God sealing those awake and on the right side of the drawn line. The great awakening is the revealing of what we could not see before. All right, let me look at this scripture in Luke. This is Luke chapter 12. Okay. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. See, John was seeing the future, but we're not. I believe we're present day. I don't believe we're seeing the future. We're seeing our history, our true history revealed to us, not what Satan's fake news has told us to believe. Revelation 8 and 7, the beast system, the false flag events with all the carnage, the battle of Armageddon, the remnant that is awake, sealed of God, know what time it is, and the resisting the Antichrist demon army by the word of God. Right now, the warfare has been fierce. Revelation 10, John ate the book and it gave him a tummy ache. Isn't that what this is like? He ate the book. He was then told to go and tell everyone about it. He says thousands, go talk to tongues. And well, in fact, I'll just read that because he tells him to go. He ate the book and he told him to go prophesy to nations and tongues and not sit on it. Let me find it. John 10. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Well, he's been doing it. We've had the book for 2,000 years, about thereabout. All right, Revelation 11, the two witnesses. The return to God's government, the church awake and standing up and resisting the devil, a dead church arisen and seated with him in heavenly places, back and taking back what the devil has stolen. All right, I'm not going to read this. We'll pick up with this next time. I had the two visions from Kenneth Hagin and Tommy Hicks. So this is a good stopping place. We'll finish this next week, and maybe the Lord might add some to it.